Let's get working here.
We still have a lot more of Pasa Akum to cover. So what I want to do today, even though it's really a little bit out of order, but it's not terribly out of order, is to discuss what exactly constitutes Pas. And the entranceway into that is through Sif Aleph, but it's not really a Sif Aleph Sugya. It's more of a Sif Vav Sugya at the end of that Ramah, when Ramah talks about Pasa Mabekistin and things like that. So we're going to jump, you know, from Sif Aleph to Sif Vav, and then we're going to go back and cover all the other Si'ifim. But what I want to start with today, at least, is how do we qualify what constitutes Pas? So the very first rule is what the Shulchan Aruch says: V'lo asru ela pas shel chamesh minei dagan of a pas shel kiddush shel oros v'dachan ein b'chal pas stav she asru. That when the Chazal made a gzera pas akum, it means, but the definition of pas is chamesh minei dagan. If you have a rice bread, so that's not a real bread. If you have a bread that's made from anything, if you have a quinoa bread or I don't know what, it's not a real bread. It would not be included in the gzera of pas. So wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. That's the classic translation, at least, of the chamesh minei dagan, but not a rice bread. So then the question is, okay, but then is it bishul akum if it's made from non chamesh minei dagan? So the Rama adds, yeah, technically it could be, but v'gamenu also mishum bishul yavchav minol shulchum. But usually it's not going to be bishul akum because it's not olal shulchum lachim. So if you have a rice bread that's not olal shulchum lachim, so then it's not going to be pas akum because it's rice, and it's not going to be bishul akum because it's not olal shulchum lachim. Now you would have expected the Mishmur to say, the Ramah to say, that it's not going to be considered bishul akum because it's baked, it's a bread, it's a rice bread. But he doesn't say that. Why? Because even baked things can be subject to bishul akum. Things that you bake in the oven could still be qualified as bishul. Pas is chamesh minei dagan. Bishul is non-chamesh minei dagan, even if it's baked in a baking kind of way and not in a cooking or frying kind of way. Question is, what about the reverse? What if you have chamesh minei dagan, but it's not baked in the conventional way as pas? So that's what most of the conversation today is going to be about. What do we do about bagels and donuts and blintzes and waffles and pancakes and crackers and pretzels and pizza and everything else, right? Is all of that subject to pas akum, to bishul akum, to neither, to both? So Tosfos in Maseches Beitzah on Daf Tzayin and Beis quotes a machlokes whether cookies are subject to pas akum. And the Raman, Sivav, takes a stand on this. That's why this is mostly a Sivav discussion. The Raman writes at the end of Sivav, Va'osa nilu shekorin kichlech o mine metika shekorin lekuch heim b'chal pas. So if these types of sweet things are considered pas, they're not subject to bishul akum, subject to pas akum. Yesh bin in nilu shekorin kichluch shoknos al brazil and moshkum abrazil b'shasafia b'chelav o chazir b'osin yesh nizor alasun v'cheina minat. But, if they're putting chazir shmals all over it, you may want to avoid it. Okay, good, helpful hint. That if you're Jewish, you may want to avoid things that have chazir shmals all over it. But as far as a pas akum bishul akum issue, assuming that everything is kosher, that all the ingredients are kosher, so says the Rama, it's considered, cookies, ragalach, anything you can make mazonos on, the heterim of pas akum apply, and the heterim of bishul akum do not apply. So the Taz in Sifkat and Vav explains that, what is the Taz right over there in Sifkat and Vav? What makes it pas? The fact that if you were to have a whole su'uda of ragalach, you'd have to make hamotzi. You should also reassess your life, but you should make hamotzi if you're going to have a whole su'uda worth of ragalach. So anything that you're going to be kaveh su'uda and is going to become hamotzi, that qualifies as pas. So l'chora, turns out, cakes, cookies, crackers, pizza, pretzels, all those things, l'chora, because they're chamesh minei dagan, and the Taz adds, that second criteria, it's chamesh minei dagan, and if you were kaveh suda on it, it would be a motzi. Therefore, you would consider a pas akum, not bishul akum. Now, what about grain foods, meaning things that are made from grains that are eaten but are not even mazonos to begin with? That's also l'chora, non-starter. That's clearly not pas. meaning granola or puffed wheat, something that you have a whole grain where it's going to be a hadama, and it's not going to be, granola bars are a whole separate Indian. But if you have some, there's a lot of brachos, obviously, that has to be discussed, a lot of brachos in this context. But I was just talking to Isaac Bernstein this morning, he's one of our musmachim, and he passed through yeshiva today. He's learning in the Kollel and Pesach. He told me that that the Kollel learned Bishul de Shabbos for one full year, and Ketzad Mevorchen for two full years. So so if you're really holding in brachos, okay, we're not going to do that. We're not. But we're going to have to mention some of the dinim of brachos along the way over here. But anyway, so the if you have granola or puffed wheat or something that's not ground up into a flour and it's hadam and it's not mazonos, so that's not going to be subject to pasakum. It's not going to have the heter of pasakum, which is the major heter, of course, is that paspalter is mutter. So anything not from chameshus mini dagan isn't pas. Grain foods that are fried or cooked, which according to the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, in Kuf Samaches, Sif Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says that if you fry dough, it would not be hamotzi. So since fried or cooked dough would not be hamotzi, fried or cooked dough would also not be subject to pas akum. So pasta and oatmeal are also not included in pas. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't say hamotzi on fried dough, right? That, like I just told you, kuf samachas. However, not all poskim agree to that. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah over there in Sifkat Nun Vav, he quotes that it's a machlokas haposkim. So lachari, you just have to carry over that machlokas over here because that's really what it's dependent on. If you make hamotzi, if you're kovei asuta, then that's going to be a pas. And if you would not be kovei asuta, so and should I be machmir or sezim mitzvah or not? It will depend on what you hold in that machlokas. When it comes to pizza, the poskim point out that for sure is pas akum. What about the sauce and the cheese? And sometimes there are vegetables on top of it as well. Sometimes they even decide to ruin it with olives, right? So they have when you have different things on top of the pizza. So a person might argue, well, isn't that bishul because you're cooking all these things on top of the pizza? So the argument goes, no, all of those things are nechel kamo shulchan. You could eat tomato sauce raw, you could eat cheese raw, you could eat vegetables raw. If you're so inclined, you could even eat an olive raw, right? They're all nechel kamo shulchan. So it's not, none of them are going to be subject to bishul, and they're all completely tefil to the bread. The bread is the real inyan. So really, it's a pasakum issue, not a bishul akum issue. We do have a sif in Shulchan Aruch over here about what happens if you mix bishul and pas things together. You put an egg on top of the bread and you cook them together. Okay, we'll get to that. But over here, that's not the issue with pizza. What about pancakes? So pancakes are a very interesting shayla. Do you ever have to wash on pancakes? If you have like a lot of pancakes, yeah. You could put tomato sauce and pasta and eat it just like that. That's not olives. No one ever should eat, but the people eat it shlo de chak. Israelis.
I'm saying
some of you maybe even. Huh? You think it's only eating olive de chak? Olives?
Straight off the tree.
Oh, that's not what they put on the pizza. I don't think. I have no idea what they put on the pizza. I would never buy it. But I don't think that's what they put on. I don't think that's what they put on the pizza. Yeah, sure. No? You never seen pizza with olives on it?
I don't know
the
olives
on it. Okay, yeah. And I have seen, because I happen to like vegetable pizza, and I take a peek always, and when there's olives on it, I'm like, oh, they killed it. Right, so, okay. They tried a lot of different things on we're not getting into. Okay, so what about pancakes? So pancakes are a very interesting shayla, because it's made, first of all, it's fried, but in a very tiny amount of oil, or even just with spraying Pam or something like that. So you wouldn't call that fried, right? Meaning just a little bit to grease the pan so that the pancake doesn't burn. That obviously, that would not be called fried. You would have a din of being baked, even though it's pan baked as opposed to oven baked. L'chora would have a din of being baked. So from that perspective, it's not fried. It may be, it should be passed. What holds pancakes back from being pas is the fact that it's a soft batter. It's a blila raka. It's a batter that you pour, and that lechora takes away the status of bread. So the shach in Sivkatan Yud Ches, the shach writes over here, Ashakon kichlich dafka sheblilasan ava v'yesh ben tor alechem. That something needs to have a blila ava. It needs to be a thick dough. If it's not a thick dough, it's a batter that pours, then it doesn't get off the ground. Cannot possibly be pas. Then it would have it would be subject to bishul. This is we'll get to how it's relevant in other contexts in a second. But that's what the shach says. So you would think, okay, so then it's an open and shut case. The pancakes are obviously not pas, not subject to pas akum, yes, subject to bishul akum. We need to figure out whether it's olah al shulchan malachim or not, right? That's that would be the whole issue. However, the base mayor on the shach over here writes, af biblila raka masik b'shulchan aruch harachayim simkuf samachas shim kava aleyan mivarech hamotzi. That if you're kaveya, you're say hamotzi, and that's the real criteria of pas, and therefore it does not need to be a blila ava against the shach. In Aruch HaShulchan, Sif Lamed Aleph, kol shablila saraka v'shalol al yidei mashkin afilu nasis b'machvas gamkein havalechem. So it wouldn't be lechem. So this is really a machlokas. It's a machlokas between the shach on the one hand, Beis Meir and the Aruch HaShulchan on the other hand. Do we view pancakes as pas akum? In the freezer section of your local supermarkets, there are frozen pancakes that you can buy, and they're already cooked. You just need to defrost them and warm them up. So, what do we consider that? Is that, I mean, does the factory need to be makbid that a Jew turns on the fire in that factory? Do they need to have a mashgiach turning on the fire? If it has a din of pas, no, it's pas palter, it's fine. But if it has a din of bishul, and you assume that it's all al shulchan malachim, okay, probably the frozen pancakes in the freezer section of your grocery are not all al shulchan malachim, but if you're not comfortable relying and being confident that it's not all al shulchan malachim, then l'chora, they would have to turn on the fire. When it comes to waffles, the shach that we just mentioned says that it's only pas if it has the Torah lechem and it's made with a thick batter. But according to other poskim, I think the Taz also tells that it doesn't need to be made with thick batter, that even a blila raka is going to be mutter, but certainly the Aruch HaShulchan, the Beis Meir, would hold that it's mutter. So the Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul writes, I'm sorry, not Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul, the poskim discuss the following. They point out a Mishabur in the Sharet Zion who says in Kuf Samaches Oslamed Vav, that be'emek bracha mevayer ofen asiyasad v'zol l'shon shalochem solus u'bilasa gamkin raka ma'od v'notal b'kaf me'osa kli she'isa b'tolcho v'shofech oso b'tfus shal barzol shakorn purvin v'yesh l'mala od barzol achra kamahu. He's describing a waffle maker. V'isa nishbach ben shnei ha-barzelin, and you pour the batter between the two barzelin, u'mishadik barzol b'barzol yachad. Then it gets baked right away. Ala barzel shulchan ma'od ve'elu'en lam toras lachem klal hov v'nispashu kol kach dak dak. That they don't have a tzuras pas because they're made with a watery batter and therefore they don't have the status of pas. So this is the question about waffles. Meaning it's l'chora the same issue that you have with pancakes, that the whole reason it wouldn't have a tzuras pas is because it's a blila raka. But if you hold that which is a blila raka could still have a tzuras pas, so then waffles would be subject to pas. Where this comes up, we'll discuss in bishul akum the following. You're at a hotel somewhere, and they have a continental breakfast, right? A free continental breakfast. So you figure out, what's kosher there and what's not, right? So the cereals, are kosher. And, you're able to identify certain cereals as being kosher. You're able to identify certain drinks as being kosher. Fruit, whatever. But then they always have a waffle maker, right? So the waffle batter often has on the machine that has the batter. I've been to a lot of these hotel continental breakfasts and did a lot of trips with my kids when they were younger. In the summertime, and this was like our thing, like to know, figure out what's kosher, what's not. I've been in a lot of hotel kitchens in Pennsylvania and wherever there are minor league stadiums. Anyway, so the thing with the batter very often has a big OU on it. So you know that it's kosher batter. They you know, Marriott contracts, Hellify Marriott, but whatever chain contracts with some company that does their food services, and they can only use the food that's provided for them from the food services they get. So you know that it's the OU batter. You know that the batter is kosher. So you're allowed to go make yourself waffles on the waffle maker. So what would be the problem with making yourself waffles on the waffle maker? So there are a couple of problems. One problem is, are you so sure that that's the only thing that's ever been used in that waffle maker? Maybe they've put treif things in that waffle maker. So someone wanted to tie it up. Of course you're sure, because there's a big sign in it that says, please do not put other things in the waffle maker, which I tie in is a big raya that people have put other things in the waffle maker. You don't put a sign. I mean, one of the hotels said, please do not put the bacon strips in the waffle maker on the sign. Big letters, !!! Which meant some kid was at the hotel was like, ooh, bacon waffles, and, you know, decided to try it. But let's say you can get past that point. Let's assume that for whatever reason you have the right to assume that the thing only works with waffles in it, the whole, you know, whatever. But is the waffle maker treif? Why would it be treif? Bishalakum. If you assume that Bishalakum chafes up Kalim, so you're not allowed to use a cleat that had Bishalakum in it. So would you have to be Machmir for that? Oh, but if the waffles are pas, then it's not subject to Bishalakum, it's only Pasakum. And Pasakum, do we have to worry that it's going to chafe up the Kalim, or is it even a problem? Because this is Pas Palter. Would you say it's Pas Palter or Pasakum? Or Pas Palavayas? How would you view a continental breakfast? Also interesting, right? Pashtos is that it comes, they're not giving you breakfast for free. They don't let anyone walk in off the street and have breakfast for free. You have to show your room key, or you're supposed to show your room key or something like that, because it's only for the people that are staying at the hotel, because they are the ones that pay. So you're paying for it. So that, l'chora, is Pas Palter and not Pasakum. So maybe that would chapa nafkamina with the waffles. What about donuts? So donuts are a thick batter, but they're deep fried. So some poskim hold that donuts have the status of pas and not bishul. But l'chora, deep fried in oil is a giveaway that it's bishul. In Rabbi Badner's Hilchos Brachos book, he said that he asked both Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv. And they both said, Mali Bishal B'mayim, Mali Bishal B'shemet. What difference does it make whether you cook it in water or cook it in oil? Cooking is cooking. There are two deos in Shulchan Aruch HaChaim, whether you would bench if you ate a kadeh sviya of donuts. Once again, reassess your life. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says, we would apply Savik D'Arayis L'Chumah. But Rav Avadya points out, they could be Mekel on Bishal Akum based on Savik D'Rabban L'Kula. But he says Yirei Shemayim should be Machmir. Meaning, what we're essentially saying is, at the local, you're going to give Hashkacha to Dunkin' Donuts, right? So do you have to make sure that you turn on the fryer, right? Meaning, if it's an issue of Pas, Pas Palter, you don't have to turn on the fire. But if it's an issue of Bishul, then you absolutely have to turn on the fryer, because otherwise it's going to be Bishul Akum when they're making the donuts. So Rav Avadya thinks that maybe it's a subject of Rabbanan Lekula, whether it's a din of Bishul or a din of Pas, and maybe it could be Mekel, because this is only, even Bishul Akum is only a din to Rabbanan. Rav Avadya in Yechavadas adds onto that donuts are likely not Olal Shulchan Malachim. It depends on the donut, right? With Jake, right? Meaning there are some donuts that are most certainly Olal Shulchan Malachim, right? And only very rich Malachim, but a regular donut maybe is not all that. By the way, my wife's still in Sfira. First time she made it this long in like 25 years. So, yeah. Pillowcase, fantastic. The thread count we could talk about, but the okay. That's what Avadya points out. A person questioned, because the Mishavura says that this machlokas is only where meikara, you made the dough with the plan to bake it, and then you decided to change your mind and to fry it instead, or to cook it instead. But if you made the dough with the plan to fry it or cook it, then everyone agrees that it's not pas. Everyone agrees that it's bishul, and that's the pashtus. Similar to Hilchos Challah, a lot of Rishonim say if you make a dough with the plan to cook the dough, then you don't need to be mafresh challah. That the double donuts isn't going to need to be mafresh challah for the dough. But if you made a babka dough and you decide you have that extra after you made your babka, so you figure, might as well make some donuts, might as well fry it. Okay, so there you have this machlokas, whether it requires, whether it has a din of pas or bishel. So pashtas, I think we treat donuts as having a din of bishel, and we do require, when you give hashkacha in the Dunkin' Donuts, that a Jew turns on the fryer in order to fry the donuts. That we do have an understanding that it's bishel and not pas. For Svardim, a Jew turning on the fryer is not enough, but Svardim always have Rav Avadia in their back pocket, meaning because Rav Avadia says, maybe it's a safek, something's Rabban Lukula. So you always have that to rely on in terms of eating at your local Dunkin' Donuts. What about a bagel? Bagel's bread, no? Why wouldn't a bagel be bread? So Rav Moshe, what? Bishul, right? They cook it in water first. So Rav Moshe, in Yoredei Chelik Beis, Simen Lamed Gimel, says that, the bagel is first cooked in water, and it's edible when it comes out of the water. It's very white. It's very pale. I don't know if you've ever seen. It's not crunchy at all on the outside when it comes out of the water, obviously. He says it's considered pas. It's not bishul. In Yoredei Chelik Dalid, Simen Yedalid, Rav Moshe writes to Rav Mordechai Tendler, Bidvar Mashi Yartal Chubasi Bigris Moshe Yordech El Beisim Lam Gimel. He's writing back because he got some feedback from the initial tshuva. She'isa Sham, where I say over there, Hine Bidvar HaBegel, Asher Ba'odi Isa, Nosim Osav Emaim Rotchim, they put in boiling water, Vachar Kachov Mosav Betanur, Im Yesh Bezei Isra Bishulei Akum, Hashal and he has nighty mikivin shahabishal ktsas. I there might wrote him, I see Isa Ruil Achila, lo nesra mitzad bishule akum. Umitzad hafia, himrak, but didn't pass akum shal palter. So he says, Hine emes, sheesham tos tofus. He says, I see you chap the typo. I don't know if you chap the typo as I read it. He says, Vitzor Chlios, and it should read, Hashal and he has nighty mikivin shahabishal ktsas, I there might wrote him. Lo hoisi isaru ilachiva lo nesra mitzavishlakum. Right, meaning the way it was originally appearing in his motion is that once it comes out of the water, it's roi lachila, and therefore it's not bishlakum. And that makes no sense because that should say why it is bishlakum. But it's also not true because once it comes out of the water, it's not roi lachila. So Rav Moshe says that was my point. It was a typo. Right, once it comes out of the water, it's not yet. I'd be interested to know if in later printings of the Gemara they corrected it. Did they just go back and look in the initial tshuva, see if they corrected it? When Rav Moshe himself corrected it, did they go back and correct it? But he says so. It should be that lo I see some real achila, and therefore it's not bishlakum. Vim sodekas tainascha shafilu in kshenis bashel hayaru yilachila mivchinas isu bishlakum einu neser shrein derecholim lachul kachul betach einu lachul shmulachim. So Moshe says, and even if I'm wrong about that, even if it is roi lachila when it comes out of the water, it's definitely not olal shulchan malach when it comes out of the water. So it's a very interesting tshuva, because what Moshe is saying is, yes, there is bishul when it comes to the bagel. And yes, a bagel might be olal shulchan malachim. But by the end of the bishul, it's not olal shulchan malachim. It still needs some more tampering with, some more something done to it, in order to make it olal shulchan malachim. And therefore, it's not a violation of bishul akum. But pas, it would have a din of pas palter, meaning it's certainly not pas Yisrael, right? But it would have a din of pas palter. So that's the point that he makes, that there was a typo in the original tshuva. Maybe one or two more things on this list. What about breadcrumbs? So the issue is as follows. Breadcrumbs lechora should be problematic, right? If they were originally baked as bread, then it's pasakum. The owner of Jason's Breadcrumbs, it's a breadcrumb company. Apparently, Jason is Jewish, and he's a frum Jew. And Rabbi Reisman said he once came to Rav Palm to discuss whether he needs to be machmir as the guy who makes his breadcrumbs. Should be makir v'afias Yisrael on the baking of the breadcrumbs. Now, why would you be makir? Most things are not pas Yisrael, the pas palter. So we're going to see soon, we're not going to get into it at the moment, but maybe we might get to it today, that there's a special, I think we mentioned the other day, that if a factory is owned, or a bakery rather, let's say, is owned by a Jew, having a non-Jew doing the baking in a bakery owned by a Jew is more chamer than a non-Jew doing the baking in a bakery owned by a non-Jew, which is counterintuitive, and it seems like a pella, but it's true. It's clear in Shulchan Aruch. So the owner of Jason's Breadcrumbs was a little worried because it's a Jewish owned factory. He's going to have non-Jews doing the baking. He's not working in the factory. He's going to have non-Jews doing the baking. So should he be makbid that they have Yisrael involved? So everyone agrees that breadcrumbs are bread and obviously would be subject to the dinim of pas if they were made by a non-Jew. But there is a machlokas whether you can fix pas aklum by having a Jew fry the breadcrumbs or rebake them afterwards. Meaning, no one just takes out a I don't know what breadcrumbs come in, the canister? No one takes out a canister of breadcrumbs, opens it up, takes the foil thing off, right? And then takes a spoon, and is like, oh, yum, and just, starts eating breadcrumbs. That's not what breadcrumbs are used for. What do they do with breadcrumbs? Someone actually texted me on Pesach. Was it someone here? No, it's not someone who's in the room currently. At least someone texted me on Pesach. We went. We went shopping and we bought real breadcrumbs by accident. What do you do? I'm like, no, you burn them. There's nothing you could do. So no one ever sits and eats breadcrumbs, right? What do? You bread your chicken with them and then you bake. Or fry, depending on how health conscious you are, and so you bake it or you fry it. So you make bread and chicken. That's what you do with it. So you rebake it or you recook it. So the question is, does that fix it? Meaning, if it was a problem of pasachim to begin with, will it now become al yaday the bishul Yisrael no longer pasachim? Do you have the ability to fix it? So the Maril in Simul Kuf Samachay is of the opinion that once the bread is finished, it stays asur forever. It becomes a chetz of ma'achalos asuros, and that's it. And it's ma'achalos asuros, nothing you could do about it. So therefore, pas balabayis, or pas palter, according to Sfardim, let's say, who are machmir and pas palter, or aser shemei tshuva, or whatever, cannot be fixed by rebaking the bread. Even if you crush the bread and you dissolve it in a liquid, it stays asur. Unless somehow it becomes batel, but that we'll get to much, much later. That's if you're dalit. However, the Avnei Nezer in Yerideya Simukuf argues, and he says, Nistapakti, im yesh takana lebishul akum, sheyitzlenu Yisrael, o shenitzal yidei akum, sheyivashlenu Yisrael. When it comes to bishul akum, so can a Jew then roast it? Right? When it comes to something that was roasted by a non-Jew, can a Jew then cook it and fix it in that way? Especially if you hold yesh liachar bishul, meaning if you do something different, you make it in a different way than it was originally made by the nachri. So he says that maybe you can, maybe you could fry baked bread or bake fried bread because yesh liachar afia, yesh bishul achar afia, and it says as if the Jew partook in the preparation of the bread. However, if all you're doing is rebaking that which is already baked, that's not going to help, right? Meaning that for sure won't help, even according to the Avnei Nezer. It should just bake it again. So it may be, that if someone has breadcrumbs, let's say a Sephardi person has breadcrumbs that are from a palter, it could be that it depends what he wants to do with it. If he wants to put breaded chicken in the oven, that would be a problem because he's rebaking that which is already baked. That doesn't do anything. But if he wants to deep fry it and have the fried chicken fingers or something like that, so that's perfectly fine. That would be according to the Avnei Nezer. So it would turn out that you would need to fry your chicken cutlets rather than bake them. It would also turn out, lichora, that if you have pas akum, mamish pas akum, pas balabais, or pas palta during Aser Simei Tshuva, that you can make French toast with it. Lichora. Right? Which is... I don't know, it's a good kula, no? According to that Avnei Nezer. So in Shar Mitzion Bahalacha, he quotes a Chassam Sofer about a bagel that's cooked and then baked, what we were just discussing. And he quotes that it's not Bishul Akum because it's not really Bishul, and the Afiyah is Mevatel the Bishul. Meaning, not exactly like Ramosha said. Ramosha said it's not that the Afiyah is Mevatel the Bishul, it's either that it's not Roy Lachila at the end of the Bishul, or if it's Roy Lachila, it's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. The Chassam Sofer says that the afiyah is mevatel the bishul. So by breadcrumbs, it could be that the bishul is mevatel the afiyah. It's a little bit of a stretch, though, because in bishul achar afiyah is a din in hilchos Shabbos, but pashtus is that pasakum bishul achar, it's a chefto machalos asuros. So it's not, obviously in hilchos Shabbos, we're focused on the maisa, right? Is it a maisa bishul? Is it a maisa afiyah? We're focused on the maisa. So if it's a meaningful maisa, what you're doing is a meaningful maisa bishul, so then it's bishul, right? If it's a meaningful maisa afiyah, then it's afiyah. But over here, it's not so much the focus on the maisa. Once you already have pasakum, it's pasakum. So I'm going to go and kasher it that way. Just one moment, we'll take this in a second. Rabbi Reisman argued that breaded cutlets, he thought, are shahakal, because the mezonos is clearly a tuffle. We just have to mention once we're talking about chicken cutlets with breading on them. The Mishnah says if you take bread to blunt a maluach, then it's tuffle, right? You have something that's overwhelmingly salty and not edible that way, so you take bread to blunt the impact of it, that's a clear tuffle, even though kol sheyesh b'mechavish v'nei dagan is mevarchen alav mezonos. So the only time we say kol sheyeshbo is when the mezonos is mixed in. I think there's what to argue. But going back to our pasakum issue, in the Stechemed Chelek Hay, page 284-285, he suggests a pshara about the breadcrumbs. He says if you use the breadcrumbs as a coating, then rabu hamachmirin, right? That it's you're not fixing anything. But if the crumbs are mixed with eggs or other things where it's much more like a panam chadashos ba'olikan, then it becomes mutter because it no longer resembles pas at all. I mean, a lot of times the breading that they'll mix the breading together with a bunch of other things and then put the chicken cutlets in it. So as a matter of halacha, we're mekel and pas palter anyway, but if you're machmir, it seems that there's room to be machmir on breadcrumbs. That it is pas, it's pas palter, and that recooking it may not help, right? So I think that that would be the standard shita, is that we'd be machmir. Question, sorry. Ooh, so what's air frying? Probably baking, I would imagine, has it been a baking. It's definitely not frying, right? Because frying means that you're frying in liquid. So even though in English we use that terminology, but the way it's working is with dry heat. So I think dry heat is the definition of baking, probably, the more we think about it. Oh, shalom aleichem. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Say again, what is considered visual?
Frying schnitzels. It's not totally...
Right, so that's borderline, right? Meaning if you just do it so that it doesn't burn in the pan, so then it's pashut, that it's afiyah. If you do it that it's deep fried, that it's all the way in, then it's... So that's somewhere, I don't know. Probably it's... I don't know. That's a machlokas aposkin, without frying, that's not deep fried. What exactly the status is.
So why don't we need a wash on baked chicken with breadcrumbs?
If you have enough of it, right?
And not meaning quiz.
Oh, meaning because it's baked. No, because then it becomes part of the chicken already.
So
meaning it's not
shot.
It's not a shot. I mean,
what is it?
It might be a shackle. Many post mold is a shot. If it adds flavor, because it's not bread. I mean, at that point, it's not bread. So if it's not recognizable as bread. I mean, what if you make a challah kugel, right? So that used to be a thing. But people would take the leftover challah, they crush it up, and they add a lot of sweetener to it, and they make a kugel out of it. I haven't seen it in years, but it used to be a thing. If you look in every post in the 80s and 90s, they all wrote about it. Thanksgiving stuffing, something like that, right? Okay, so modern Orthodox. So the posting pointed out that if you can't see that it's bread anymore, then it's mezonos, because it doesn't look like bread. So then it wouldn't be amotzi. Someone asked me on Pesach that they wanted to make a Napoleon cake with matzah as the base, and some recipe they found, I don't know, so they wanted to know what bracha would it be. So I thought if you could see the matzah, so you could still see that it's matzah, I thought that's like the challah kugel where you could still see the challah, where it would be hamotzi. So because in Pesach, it's always, the trouble with, you know, is everyone's always looking for how you could do Kiddush Makom Suda if you're not yet having your Suda. Right, so like that's the struggle with every Pesach program is that if you're on a Pesach program that has Gebrot, so probably there are a bunch of other problems. And if it's a program that doesn't have Gebrot, then every Kiddush is not Kiddush Makom Suda. So it's a struggle. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what other choice you have. I mean, I would recommend just waiting till the meal, but, you know, that doesn't... people are not thrilled about that suggestion. The what? Yeah, that's where Moshe's kula that way.
Do it again later.
No, Moshe holds that Kiddush is a matir for achila, so you don't really need Kiddush Makom Suda. Right. Meaning, in order to be yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda, say Kiddush again at the Suda. But Kiddush could still function as a matir to eat prior to that. That's not the way our Rebbeim understand, but yeah, Rav Moshe does hold that way. Rav Simcha Ben Kohen quotes that, I think, in his Svarim. Is that where?
Asked about Pesach specifically. That's where I think the
truth
comes from.
Oh, yeah?
That was
Pesach. Okay. So, yeah, but that's a Kiddush, Lachara, that you could just use it as a matter. If Salvechik held it, you should say Kiddush again later at the Sutta, but for a different reason than Ramosha. Right? Ramosha said you say it again later because you haven't yet been Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda. If Salvechik held it, was like a Svek Sveka. That the reason you're allowed to say Kiddush at a Kiddush and then just have mizonos, Rav Soloveitchik held is because of Svek Sveka. That Safek, maybe you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. And because of Shita Sagonim like that. And even if you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, maybe this counts as Kiddush Makom Suda. But he says, but then you're going to get to your real Suda, you only have one Safek. Meaning you don't have a Svek Sveka anymore. Because the fact that you can eat before Kiddush doesn't help you be Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda. You only have one Safek whether you're already Yotze Kiddush Makom Suda, so you should... Weiter do Kiddush Makom Suda. I think they printed that in. They put out a sefer. I think it was in Kavod Arav. I think it was Salvation's 80th birthday or something. They put out a sefer Kavod Arav where a lot of our Rashi Yeshiva wrote and the senior, what are now known as the senior Rashi Yeshiva. At that time they were the junior Rashi Yeshiva, and like Rabbi Gifter wrote, and I think Lubavitch Rebbe even wrote something. It was an interesting collection of people that wrote in that sefer. So I think there. I think maybe Rav Lichtenstein even quotes this in his article. I don't remember who, but I think in that sefer it says, "Okay, wraps? Why not? Well, let's just get into it. Are wraps pasa or wraps bishul? So what does it depend on?" So what bracha do you make on wraps, right? Meaning we said that if it's going to be something that's amotzi or that could even possibly be amotzi, then it's going to be, then of course it's going to be pas. So is it amotzi? Do you say amotzi on wraps? So the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Samaches Siv Tezvav in Aruch Chaim says, Tarisa, dahainu, shalokhan kemachumayim, flour and water, uma arvimosa, they make a dough, vishovchim alakira, like not a dough, it's like a batter, and you pour it and it spreads out a little. Vinefa, and it gets baked. Ein olav toras lechem klal vin varchon olav ella borei minei mizonos afilu kavasu daso olav. So some of the achronim say, oh yeah, why is it only mizonos? Because it must be that it's very thin because it spreads. So therefore, it's mizonos, and therefore wrap should also be mizonos. That is very shver though. Because what's he clearly describing? He's describing a pancake. He's describing a blila raka. So a blila raka you're going to have is going to be different than a blila ava. Rabbi Felder, which I found out, the same fellow who sent me Rabbi Felder Sefer said this is not Rabbi Felder from Toronto. There's one of the poskim in Lakewood. There's a big poskim in Lakewood, Rabbi Felder. So the Shirei Halacha Svarim is that Rabbi Felder. I keep forgetting the first names, but it says... There's a Rav Aaron Felder, Rav Gedalia Felder, and Rav Shmuel Felder. Two out of three are from Toronto. And the other one is a posek in Lakewood. I could check my emails and give you the details. But anyway, so Rav Shmuel Feld.
Rav Shmuel
Feld is from Lakewood.
I asked the one from Toronto right now. The rabbi said he's a distant relative.
A distant relative. Okay, very. You just texted him right now.
No.
Oh. Okay. So Rav Belder quotes Rav David Feinstein that wraps our hamotzi, and he says, "You're going to tell me it's not hamotzi because it doesn't have tzuras hapas, and maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch means over there. That it, forget about Blila Raka, it's that it doesn't have tzuras hapas because it's so flat, and because it lacks tzuras hapas, that's why." So he says tzuras hapas is dependent. Rav David told him that tzuras hapas is dependent on the generation. And if most people in your generation would look at that and would say, yeah, that's a normal thing to eat is bread, which nowadays wraps are extremely popular, so therefore it has to a pas, and therefore it's a mozi. So it would be subject to the din of a pas, which again, you got to remember, it's a bit cool though. Once you put something in the category of pas, you're saying that if a guy does it, an Ashkenazi's allowed to eat it, right? So that's a bit cool though. What about like blintzes, crepes, you know, with a... So that doesn't have a tzuras hapas, l'chora, and therefore it would seem that you could eat it during Aser Simei Tshuva, even if made by non-Jews, but you got to get around the Bishul Achlam issue. So if it's Ein Olah L'Shulchan Malachim, you get around the Bishul Achlam issue.
I think maybe you gave a shir once about wraps, and said if the wraps a certain color, then it wouldn't
be... Oh, right. I mean, sometimes they have wraps that, like, it's not clear that there's even... what it's even made out of. They have, like... spinach wraps and things like that. Yeah, so, okay, so there's one, so would those be bread? It would all depend on whether it's hamotzi or not, right? It all depends on how you possible that. Last one, Cheerios. Okay, Cheerios. So, no, do you have Cheerios during a Aseres Yemei Tshuva? No, what do we say? Cheerios during a Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Rav Shlomo Zalman held that Cheerios have tzuras hapas. They showed him a Cheerio, and or a box of Cheerios, I don't know how many they showed him, and he said, yeah, that looks like little tiny circular bread that's toasted. So, as did Rav Eliashiv, he also thought it was tzuras hapas. The unique factor, one of the unique factors with Cheerios is that they actually cook them first, and it becomes edible through the cooking, and then they bake it. So Rav Felder writes, Sha'alti davar zeh al yidei shliach, he says, I didn't ask myself, I sent someone to ask, Esagon Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv Zatzal, Esagon Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher Zatzal, Ushneim Yeshivu Sheyesh B'Cheerios Din Pas. So if you can have three bowls of Cheerios for lunch, you say hamotzi. Wow. L'chora, by that logic, well, would a noodle kugel, a lakshim kugel ever have a din of a pas? Yeah, probably not, because you need to have tzuras hapas. So a noodle never has tzuras hapas. Rav Scheinberg held that it doesn't have tzuras hapas, and you can have Cheerios in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There are those that are machmir about Cheerios, like we just said, Rav Shlomo Zalman and others. The Ol Yaakov, Rav Skatchelis, says that he heard in the name of Rabelski that you should be machmir by Cheerios, but if you look on the OU website, it says Rabelski and Rav Shechter both permitted Cheerios during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So, unclear. And they also both permitted shredded wheat cereal and many other cereals during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because most cereals don't have tzuras hapas. So that's what it's all going to be about. Does it have tzuras hapas? If it doesn't have tzuras hapas, then it's not going to be. Rav Shechter maybe would add a sniff that it's made the votes or whatever. Okay, not going to get into it.
So, like, if you have a kid who's at the point where they're washing and like eating Cheerios, would you say that they should wash the bench?
Only if it has tzuras hapas, but. I think we assume not like that. Yeah, I think we assume it doesn't have tzuras hapas. Aruch HaShulchan discusses like why, meaning we keep coming up with this rule that if, you know, things that are made of chameshes minei dagan, you might be koveya su'uda on it, but if it doesn't have tzuras hapas, then it's not included in the Isra of Pas Akum. L'chora, all the reasons... The reason that pas is special and that it got its own gezeira is because it's a staple of a meal. So the chora could be argued that anything that people would use as a staple of a meal would be subject to pas akum. The Aruch HaShulchan is bothered by this. I don't know. I wouldn't have been so bothered by this. But he writes, Lo gozru chachamim rak al pas shel chameshes minei tevua. Aval pas shel kinyi v'shalom v'dokim v'chein kol shari dvarim enu v'chal pas v'yesh l'is yashet v'zeh. do like even shalchan harbin. He said b'chol yom havi kapas mamish. Maybe it becomes bread if it's something that you eat all the time, because the gezer of pasakum shouldn't be totally completely on hilchos brachos. It should be totally on hilchos kurva. And if this is something that people use as something that's a primary element of their meal, so that could bring the sense of kurva. But he concludes that we don't say that, because we don't make our own gezeros, and Chazal made the gezer and pas, he didn't make the gezeros on things that are not pas. So that's, that's an open shot. So pretzels are, so what would you hold by pretzels? No, let's see.
Which type of,
a
big soft one?
So a big soft one for sure is tzitzis pas. Right, that for sure is. What about a regular pretzel? A little, hard cracker pretzel. So what would you say? If you what are you asking? If you're kaveh suda, does it? So I don't think people are ever kaveh suda on pretzel, but l'chori, yes, l'chori is like a cookie. Yeah.
What about
croissants? A croissant, well, for sure, it's suda sapas, right? It's at least pasabab kisla. The question is it pas, right? Meaning, and if it's something that normally is eaten as bread in a meal, then it could be you have to wash it even if you're not having it as bread in a meal. I remember I was once, when I was in my early admissions year, so I have a friend who was very involved in NCSY, so he told me I should come to the NCSY Yarche Kala weekend. He said, it's very inspiring, you should come. So I went, and I wasn't so involved in NCSY in high school. I was from New York, and New Jersey Chevron was much more involved. But I went to this Yarche Kala, and there were girls there. I sort of knew that, but Rav Willig was the theme was brachos, and Rabbi Willig was invited to give a shiur. So Rabbi Willig spoke, and he was talking about what bracha you make on croissants, whether you wash on a croissant every time you have a croissant. At that time, it was a very popular item at Dunkin' Donuts that people would get a croissant egg and cheese. I don't know if it's still is it still yes. So at that time it was a very popular item, the Dunkin' Donuts, whatever. So Rabbi Willig said this, it's a Metzius question. What do most people have a croissant as a meal? Or do they not have a croissant as a meal? So he said, if you have a croissant as a meal, please raise your hand. And the girls were on that side of the room, that entire side of the room, their hands went up. Not a single hand went up on that side of the room. If you don't have a croissant as a meal, raise your hand. So no, he wasn't machriya. It was like, his mom is 50-50, or what? They say women are 51% of the population. Is that machriya? Yeah.
What about barakas?
What about, meaning it's at least possible, because there's probably more than that. So, meaning it's definitely, what makes a baraka interesting is that there's something inside of it also that is probably subject to bishul. And it's not subject to pas, but the outside is probably subject to pas. So maybe we'll get to that when we get to the combination issues. Let me just, one more. That's the chora motzi, no? I think so. Those are like a bread. It's a soft bread under. It's like, it's pizza. It's a meat pizza. No, it's a meat pizza. It's not a deli roll without a deli. It's a meat pizza. Lakhmajin is
same as pizza.
Right. Same as pizza. So you wash, right? I would think that you would wash on it. So if it's a pass around, that's more, I was mocked at one of my kids' weddings. I don't remember whether it was Yom or Yisrael, but at one of their weddings, for the appetizer, they wanted to serve something in a wrap, and I asked them to give us another option, because I thought that a lot of people are not going to wash on the wrap, and they probably should. And a lot of people don't want to wash, and therefore won't eat the wrap. So they'll just unwrap it and dump out the pulled brisket that's inside of it. But then you just wasted all those wraps. So I think it was Yonah's wedding. So I think they so they came up with something else. They, so what was it? They came up. Not lettuce. No.
Gnocchi.
There you go. I know. There's a reason we keep you around. He remembers the appetizer at Yonah's wedding. Amazing.
I just remember the Marina
option. Marina options. Okay. I eat it like three nights a week. okay. So, That's my joke. And I go to Marina, I'm like, this for dinner again?
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, the pulled brisket today. Yeah, and everyone was saying, I bit the appetizer. I was like, it's my choice. You didn't even realize for halachic reasons, but, you know, Shomer Psalim Hashem. Okay. Let's actually get serious for a minute. Paspalti. So let's talk about bread baked in a bakery. Very important to define the terms here. I think we did it yesterday, but just to remind ourselves, there are three different categories over here. It's important to remember that, right? Meaning a lot of there's pasakum, which, you know, usually is the term we use to describe pas balabayas, meaning a balabayas who's a guy. That's asr, right? That's the gezerah that they never we paskin. They never rescinded that gezerah. That gezerah is in full force. There's pas Yisrael, which is totally mutter, and that's for Sfardim, for Ashkenazim, Aseres Mitzvah, everything. If you can somehow figure out a way to make the bread that's baked in the bakery or in the factory or whatever into pas Yisrael, no shaylas. And then there's pas palter. Right, paspalter is the category in between. So a lot of times people say, oh, we're making. And they don't know what they're saying. Because we're making what? We're making that it's paspalter? Well, then I need to know, because then I got to be careful. If I'm Sephardi, I might want to be more. I mean, if I'm Bal Nefesh, who's machmir on that, I may want to be more machmir about it. Shabbos, I may want to be more machmir about it. You know, but if you say that you're making and you mean that it's pas Yisrael, then it's mamish mutter. So why is there a heter of paspalter to begin with? So the Shach in Sifkat and Ches gives two reasons for the heter of paspalter. We're not going to read it, it's a kind of a long Shach, but parts of it. The Shach writes, first of all, he says, B'mordechai kasvatam, l'visha osim mekomus hanog in heter hainu mishum, sholen espashet iser pashal v'chavim betchil sakzer, b'osim mekomus, l'visha pashal v'chavim pashal yisuru b'kol Yisrael, l'visha mashma dafil pashal b'alei batum mutter. One possibility is the whole gzeira was never nispashet, even for pas balabayas, that the whole gzeira was negotiable because the whole gzeira was never accepted by Rav Yisrael. And then he says the second shita, the sphere of the nispashet is sur b'kolam makomos. No, the gzeira was accepted; it was embraced by Klal Yisrael, and it was something that Klal Yisrael did. But they had to be makil because of chayin nefesh. They had to come up with a way to be matarit because otherwise people weren't going to be able to survive when there's no Jewish baker around. So they were makil on pas palter. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins based on the Rambam that we saw already, that if there's no Jewish baker around, you're allowed to buy bread from a non-Jewish commercial baker, a pas palter, because that's considered a shas el chak. Meaning, he says, yesh mekomos, that the gzera of pas akum doesn't apply when you have two criteria. It's palter, it's not pas palbais, it's palter, that's one. And second, there has to be no Jewish baker in town. That's the mechaber. So the mechaber holds that the mechaber is going to say to be machmer and pas palter in most circumstances because usually there is a Jewish baker in town, right? So as long as there's a possibility of pas Yisrael, then you cannot rely on pas palter according to the mechaber. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah writes that like the Mordechai that from a non-Jewish commercial baker it's mutter, even if there is a Jewish baker around. Yeshom dafilu b'makom. Even if Pas Yisrael is around its mutter, so according to the Ramah, we'll always allow Pas Palter. So do Ashkenazim necessarily paskin like the Ramah? We'll close with this. The Shach writes, Miunir at Yesh Lizayr, Av Kol Yemos Hashana. Shach. The Shach says you should be careful all year. Shalolikach Pashal Bichav Min Apalter, Heichad Yesh Palter Yisrael, Imlo Shapasal Bichav Min Yafe Yoser. Unless the non-Jewish bread is better. Da'az Shari. So you have Mechaber, who says that if the Jewish bread is available, you cannot have Pas Palter. The Ramo says, yes, you can. And the Shach, who says, it depends. If the non-Jewish bread is better, then you can have it even if the Jewish bread is available. But if it's not qualitatively better, if it's not tastier bread, then you're not allowed to have it. And that's the truth that Shulchan Aruch himself in Sifei really says that. But he quotes it as Yesh Omrim in Sifei. So the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like that Shach, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks we should be machmir about this unless there's a qualitative difference. What makes something a qualitative difference? So there's a sefer, I don't remember if I told you guys to buy it, but it's kedai to buy, the Chelkas Binyamin on Ma'achalei Akum, right? It's Rav Binyamin, Rav Feivel's son, Rav Binyamin Cohn, and he did many, many volumes continuing his father's work. So he has on Ma'achalei Akum, I think it was his first one that he put out. He must have been like 30 years old when he wrote it. But anyway, Chelkas Binyamin, he writes that the superiority has to be in the bread itself and not in the price, nor in the shopping experience. Meaning it could be that it's more pleasant to shop at the non-Jewish store than the Jewish store, or it could be that it's a cheaper price, but that's not called better. Better means that the bread itself is better. The OU policy is like the Ramah, and even in the Heimischer brands, only Lieber's is machbit about Pas Yisrael. Pretzels, generally, when you have any Heimischer pretzel, it's very hard to make that Pas Yisrael because they have a way that they do it, and they make it in a large plant and they'll just do a special run, but there's no system in place for people to really be machbit about it. So generally speaking, you're going to have to be make, at least in the factory setting, although we'll discuss factories separately. Okay, so tomorrow is Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll get into how available the Pas Yisrael needs to be and some more details. Okay.